call to order the March 19, 2013 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I reviewed the minutes of the January 22, 2013 meeting, as well as the minutes of February 12.
It should be 2013, February 12, 2013. There's a typo on the agenda.
As well as the February 12, 2013 minutes, and have approved them and executed them. Are there any announcements before we proceed any further?
None that I'm aware of, Mr. McElja.
All right. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning's proceedings?
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay. Let me take one matter out of order. Do we have a respondent here on case number 8, Deep Lounge, Inc., and another Plan B, Inc., DBA 509 Lounge? Is there anyone here for that respondent? No. Okay. Apparently, this respondent is represented by Attorney David Hood. Attorney David Hood is also a state legislator who I am told is presently in session, and I am reminded by Mr. Hood there's a law that says everything that any of his clients is to be continued until he's available. Now, just so I can be clear, I knew that last time we addressed this matter, but we put it on the next agenda because I got the impression that the parties were getting ready to resolve the matter with or without the intervention of Mr. Hood. So that's the only reason I put it on there. And as I commented to Mr. Hood as he was walking out of the Ormond Beach restaurant one evening, I only put it back on the agenda because it appeared as though the parties were getting ready to resolve it. And that was that. And I've since received a letter from Mr. Hood reminding me of his entitlement to a continuance. So, what's going on with case number 8? Anyway, what's going on with case number 8?
We're not happy, but from the perspective of the continuance, as we spoke before about an emergency situation, we're not to an emergency situation. The question is, are we closer to resolving? No, our perspective is we're further away than we were before.
Okay.
But nevertheless, I spoke with Mr. Hood as well and acknowledged that we would have obviously no objection to continuing till the end of the session, which would, I guess will be the June meeting.
And again, I just want to clarify for the record, we were aware of his entitlement to the statutory entitlement to continuance last time. But when we were here last, it sounded as though the parties were getting ready to resolve the matter themselves. Now it sounds as though the parties are not going to be able to resolve.
That's correct.
All right, that having been said, then I guess we're continuing this matter. When am I continuing it to?
To the June meeting, Your Honor.
To the June meeting?
Yes, sir.
All right, then with that, with regard to case number 8, I will go ahead and order that this matter be continued to the June 11, 2013 meeting. Okay?
Yeah, so just clarification, this letter would ask for any date after May 20th.
Very good. All right, now let's return to our beginning of our agenda. Kathy E. Smith, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. Anyone here for the respondent?
Kathy Smith.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Just bring the microphone down a little bit.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Ms. McElja, Anthony Jackson, appearing for the City of Daytona Beach, Assistant City Attorney. This case is... I'm sorry, I just shuffled here a little. This case is on a docket for imposition of a fine. Violations were dilapidated stairs, exterior surfaces, and windows. The prior testimony of the inspector, who was John Stinson, was that everything was done except for the stairs. And, in fact, even the stairs were done. However, they did not meet the plans were not satisfactory. And so I believe there was prior testimony. We can get that from Ms. Smith as to her efforts to get the stairs done and having problems with a contractor. Our best knowledge was that physically everything was done as in January. However, this problem with resolving the permitting for the stairs was not done. Basically, the stairs are out of, at least from the plans, they're out of compliance by, they're deviating more than 3/4 of an inch, which is unacceptable. So that's the only thing that needed to be resolved. At this time, the staff, since this has been going on since September, and now, and the request for getting this repaired has been since January of this year. The request of staff is that a fine be imposed, and what the staff is asking for is a fine of $25 per day, maxing out at $1,000. We will tell you that we understand the inspector has informed me he received a call from the contractor today asking what does he need to do as of today.
Okay. Let's see, Ms. Smith.
Hi. I just came from downstairs. I paid him for the building permit ever since the 19th of February. He's just getting the building permit done this morning. He just called me. So I left downstairs and says $114.95. Now I got to come back with $114.95. But I did pay him February the 19th for his building permit to Mr. McLeod, Ray McLeod, to his wife. So I put my, like I was told to pay for the building permit, and that's what I did. And that's my contract.
Okay, well, you and I have spoken any number of times about these stairs.
Yes.
That need to be permanent.
Yeah.
We stand on that. The last few times you've been here.
He said he was going to get it done for me.
Last few times you've been here, you explained to me how you're going to get the permit, or you're going to get this, or you're going to get that. And it sounds as though it's in the works, but now we're hearing from the contractor right before the meeting. So, where are we on the permit?
Well, I understand I got from the permit this, from the contract this morning off the phone that he'll be there. He should be there now. That's all I can say. He should be at the house over to getting it done because he was out of town. He said he had some work to do out of town up north, up the road.
So what is it we're needing to do? We need to rework the stairs and get a permit?
Yes, got to get a permit, but the permit is already prevented downstairs. I just got to go pay for it. And he said the bottom stairs is a little too short from the second stairs. He said that's got to be recorrected. He don't have to be tearing down or nothing. He got to tear the whole thing down. He told me the first stairs there have to come in with the compliance of the second stairs because one of them was a little too short.
And when are you expecting this to be done?
Hopefully today when I get back home. Because
right.
They just called me.
Here's what we're going to do. The city wants to fine you because you've been too long to do this.
Yes.
I have given you plenty of time to get it done. All that having been said, I'm more interested in getting the stairs done than I am fining you.
Yes.
But if I got a light of fire under you to get it done, then I'll light a fire under you to get it done. So that having been said, here's what we're going to do. And I'm hoping this is all the incentive we need to make this go away. I'm going to order you to be in compliance by April 3, 2013. So I'm amending my present order of non-compliance to give you until April 3, 2013.
Okay.
And if it's not in compliance by then that $25 fine that he's asking for is automatically going to go into effect and continue for each day thereafter until it maxes out at $1,000. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you got all the way till April 3 to get something done that you tell him he's going to be done within the next day or so.
Yeah.
Then you got all the time in the world.
Okay.
Please don't forget to call that gentleman over there and ask him to inspect it because it isn't over until he puts a notice of compliance in the file.
Okay? Yes, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Case number 2, Jimmy A. Hanna and Tammy S. C.
Good morning. Could you state your name, please?
Hattie Nassif.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. All right. This matter is here for the imposition of the fine, and the nature of the violation is stuccoing, exterior surfaces. Somebody's handing me a letter.
I just received that. I'm sorry. Mr. Couch, I just received that from Mr. Nassif.
Okay, this is the house that had the second story. The stucco was coming off the wall.
Thank you.
Yep. And you live in some... Where is it you live? There it is. It's got a homeowners association. It's aggravated.
Bayberry.
Pardon?
Bayberry.
In Bayberry.
All right. So it's your understanding your lawsuit's now settled, so there should be funds available to get this work done?
Yeah, they said 2 days.
So there is 3 days.
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you have any idea how long it's going to take to do the work, assuming those funds are available in a few days?
I have a proposal from the a contractor and a painter. Each one said that it could take about 10 to 2 weeks for each one. So it should be within 3 to 4 weeks max.
3 to 4 weeks. So you think you're going to be done by April 3, 2013?
I hope so. That's what they told me.
And you're going to do everything you can to stay on top of them to make sure it's done, because you're going to tell me you've got a special
magistrate
that wants it done by April 3,
2013. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent, given the circumstances, that being the litigation that he's been involved in. I'll extend our current order of noncompliance until April
3, 2013. I'm sorry, April 3, that's how many days
from today? I'll tell you this, Mr. Vakelja. The inspectors informed me that he figures that's about 2 weeks, and that's really pushing it, and we're more than acceptable for May.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm satisfied with the respondent's effort, so let me amend that. I'll allow the respondent until May 8, 2013 for compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fining up to $1,000.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll remind you the same thing I reminded the previous respondent. Make sure you call Mr. Stinson and come and inspect it as soon as the work's done.
Sure, I will.
And that'll be the end of it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Stay on top of those people when it's done.
Thank you.
Case number 3, David Marachi. Do you have any respondents? Let's have a seat.
Good afternoon.
There's a thought that maybe he's outside the door, so we'll, if we can check, Mr. Kelcher.
Leo Narachi.
Leo?
Yeah.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of fine. Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelger, this is case number SMG01-1307 at 423 Walker Avenue. The inspector is John Stinson. And in this case, this is a tenant-occupied. I'm sorry, it's a tenant-occupied structure, and the inspector has been there based on complaints from that required an inspection. And as a result of that inspection, he had found various violations, which are shown. The current status is that the owner still must obtain electrical permits and must obtain restoration permits. Upon the last inspection of the inspector, he found that the, per his conversation with the manager of the property, that there was work going on without restoration permits, which would be a new violation, and just so that they can be, owner or manager can be so warned that no work should be done until the permits are obtained. So what staff is asking for at this time is that this case has been first notified September 2012, And at this time, the staff is requesting that a fine be imposed of $75 per day, capped at $15,000.
Good. What's in Mr. Naracha?
Sir, I got two contracts on the 3rd, 3-3, because before I got a lot of contracts and they were charging me $16,000, $17,000, $18,000. So it was way high. The house is not worth $5,000 in today's market. So I got the estimate, and according to your last conversation between me and you repeated it twice to three times, said if you cannot meet the six, call Mr. Stenson. And I called Mr. Stenson, and I told him, I just got the contract, I paid 50% to each of them, and they start, and one of them is going to finish within a week. The other, I'm not sure yet, he's trying to get the permit. He hasn't got the permit yet. And that's where we stand today. The guy, the electrical, is finished and done, and he gave me the CO, and then the other, he just called me just now. He said just now he picked up the permit.
All right. Now, the work that is covered by those contracts covers everything that you need to do to come into compliance?
That's according to what I have, yeah.
Okay. So you've got contractors. You've got contracts with contractors. One of the contractors, you tell them, is already done.
Done. Not
that's
sure.
The electrical work.
Right.
You've got another contract with a contractor whom you've already paid a deposit to, who's going to get the rest of the work done.
Correct.
By when?
Well, I'm estimating maybe 3 to 4 weeks. That's what he's telling me.
Mr. Kelch, if I could state, just for clarification, I do see that my note was incorrect, that the inspector did inform that the electrical permits had been obtained, and so we're not really as much on the electrical permit. We realized that he had already had that pulled, and it's the restoration permit that we were concerned with. I guess that's what he's saying. He's had the inspector hasn't had an opportunity to see or know whether that's what he needs or not, because apparently it's something he just obtained.
But the confusion here is I called Mr. Stenson. I told him that the guy started on the project, and he jumped on and said, so you're in violation. I said, I don't know if in violation. I never seen the property. I never been there. I travel a lot from Atlanta to here, so I didn't have time. All I'm depending on, they finish the project. They get a CO. They get an okay. Then I pay them the next 50%. So I didn't see the property. So he's putting me in trouble. Saying that I was we started the project without having a permit. He said, I'm admitting that we started the project, and I'm very upset about that.
Well, let's calm down. I'm more interested in getting this piece of property in the shape that it's supposed to be in as quickly as possible. All right? And what you're telling me is that, no, I'm not done with it, but I have already put out money for an electrical contractor who's taking care of all the electrical issues, and I have another contract with another contractor to resolve the balance of the issues. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right, and I paid him 50%.
And you've already paid money to do that? Okay, fine. Then I'm satisfied that you've made an effort to try to get the matter into compliance, and if you've gone to that effort, then I'm satisfied with that. So, I like focusing on the future more than the past. I'm not much of a history buff.
Okay.
So that having been said, you're telling me that within the next 3 to 4 weeks you expect to be in compliance.
Right.
Okay. And from what I'm hearing across the table is all the electrical issues have been resolved.
That's what I got. He sent me. It was okay. I hadn't seen it.
That's correct from the perspective of the city. The permits was what was necessary.
So the electrical issues are off the table. We're done with that. All right. I'm satisfied with the respondent's efforts. I'm going to allow the respondent until May 8, 2013, to come into compliance or be returned to me for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, you've got kind of a short month here. You tell me you're going to take 3 or 4 weeks, so I'm giving you 6 weeks.
Okay.
Please stay on top of your contractor to get it done. Don't come in here in June telling me that you just got off the phone with the contractor and he swears he'll be out there tomorrow.
No.
Because that seems to be the usual modus operandi. So please stay on top of your contractor. Tell him that you have to have this work done within the 3 to 4 weeks that you've indicated. You've got till May 8th to get it done. And since it sounds as though you are an absentee owner, please make sure you call Mr. Stenson and tell him to go out there and inspect it once the work is done. Because it ain't over until the paperwork is in the file saying notice of compliance. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Okay.
You have something else you wanted to say?
Well, I was trying to get the tenant out so we could work, and I gave her a deposit. She doesn't want to go leave. She doesn't have no place. She's not paying. That's 2 months not paying. So, you know, I'm working. They're working around her, you know.
I understand the facts of life. We run into these situations. If and when the time comes, that becomes an obstacle, you'll be sure to let me know, and I'll be happy to take it into consideration.
Okay. I just would like Mr. Stenson to work with me.
I'm sure Mr. Stenson will.
And Mr. Vakeljev, Mr. Narachi, can just be reminded of the requirement to get a rental license as well upon getting that inspection.
An occupational license, if you're renting it out, I think it's like a $25 license or something like that?
$60.
But that was part. Yeah, that is part of the violation as well.
Okay, so that's part
here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They'll tell you where to go to get it.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Good luck to you. All right. Case number 4 is in compliance. Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6 is in compliance, which brings us to case number 7. Akari Organization LLC and Loan 50 Inc. DBA LBS Tax Services.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Akin Bakari.
Sorry?
Akin Bakari.
Mario Cooper.
Make
sure
you speak into the microphone, please. Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right. This matter is here for the imposition of fines.
Take
on the beach first.
Mr. Kelger, this is case number SMG021311, Bakari Organization LLC and Loan by Sell Inc. doing business as LBS Tax Services. And this case is actually in compliance. The reason we're here today is that the city is asking for a will fine as to the window signage. You may recall, Mr. Vakeljev, this is a case where we came before magistrate, where the city had collected 600 signs that they had to remove out of various areas, locations over, what is it, 683 signs that they had to remove from various locations throughout the city. And as a result of that, the violators were cited and fined. The records show that all people had been notified. And a will fine was imposed as to the snipe signs. However,
as to the what signs?
The
yard signs.
What other snipe signs is what I called them, but I didn't know if we had another term. but the yard signs. However, we did not, because the other violations were still remaining and unresolved. That being the window signage as well as the holes and broken and loose rotted materials for the structure. Those matters were set for a compliance date. They have come into compliance. However, we are now asking for a will fine as it relates to the window signage, as that becomes a general pattern for this type of business.
So, the window signs have been removed?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it has.
Compliance.
That's the compliance photo I would expect.
Yes,
and the prior photo would have been what would have been the excessive signage that would have required permitting.
Prior to him having been, prior to the organization having been cited, on January 25, 2013, there was already a will fund order in place prohibiting window signs?
No, that's not what I'm saying. We had no will fund in place. We had a will fund, we had no will funds in place at all. This was before the magistrate first review. However, there was a finding that the signage, the snipe signage or the yard signs, were irreparable and irreversible in nature, and they were fined because of that circumstance, and as well as for the cost of the staff in going out and having to remove all of those signs.
Those were the yard signs. Those are the ones that were scattered all over the streets.
That's correct.
We're here now on a window sign.
Right.
A window sign that he's in compliance with.
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
And you're wanting just a will fine put in place, or you're wanting...
Just the will fine put in place.
Some order.
No, Your Honor. Just the will fine put in place as it relates to the window signs.
Okay. All right. Does the respondent want to be heard on that matter, now that I understand what we're talking about?
No, I understand about the yard signs, and we will pay the fine. And we did get in compliance with the window. I hope we don't have to pay anything with the window.
He's not asking for a fine on the window right now. What he's asking for a will fine. And what that means is you are officially on notice that in the event you do it again, then he'll be asking for money.
Well, I completely understand that. I want to be in compliance all the time with the city of Daytona.
And you need to be wary of the fact that will fine can get real expensive real fast. I think the maximum is what, $5,000?
That's correct.
Up to $5,000 per occurrence. Okay. We're not usually that harsh around here, but I'm just forewarning you that that's the amount that comes into play. All right. Anything else?
Yes, obviously, I'm not on the property, and I'm not here most of the time. But obviously, and I'm being fined for, obviously, what he has done, and I'm trying to figure out why should I be fined when he's a tenant. I'm not a landlord, if I'm not in a violation.
Correct. The contractual privity is between you and your tenant. We have no relationship with your tenant at all. You're the only one with a relationship with your tenant.
Correct.
And as the property owner, you're expected to police your property, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, but what it does outside the property, I understand about the sign, but I don't understand about the yardage sign, obviously, which are the signs that are in the ground all over the city. I had no idea what he was doing, obviously, but at that point, I think the city should hold him responsible, or them responsible, for that, and not me responsible, because I'm not even, unfortunately, I don't live in...
I can't answer that one right now. That's another topic that we talked about a month or two ago.
Unfortunately, I wasn't here. I was away out of the country when that happened. So I will have showed up here, obviously.
Are you perhaps a franchisor?
No, I have nothing to do. I just own the building, that's all. So he's the... And is it a franchise? I'm not sure.
It is a franchise.
Right, but you're not his franchisor?
No. Absolutely not. I just own the property, that's all. But I'm being fined also. I'm being included in the fine, obviously, because I own the property. And obviously, I think I spoke to the detective a while ago, a deputy, but he never actually informed me about the things that were wrong with the building. All he told me about was the signage, which I just realized, obviously, actually today is when I realized there were other problems, there were holes in there, but I guess that was fixed by the guy who is maintaining the building.
Well, sir, I don't mean to be rude. Not really my place to answer your questions, and it's definitely not my place to be rendering legal opinions from up here. So all I can tell you is perhaps you ought to consult with an attorney.
Correct. Okay.
Don't know what else to say. I don't know whose yard signs they were. The case was presented, and at that time the ruling was made. So that's as much as I'll say on that at this point in time, but if you take issue with it, perhaps you ought to talk to an attorney about it.
We don't have a problem. We're going to pay the fine.
Which fine are you paying? I'm just curious. Cause I don't know.
The one that's for like $700-$800.
$700? So you're going to pay them. So are you telling the city now you're responsible for the fine and you're taking me out of it?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely understood, and yeah, okay. Understood that when he said it.
I guess you don't need an attorney anymore.
Correct.
In any event. Okay, I'm going to find that the respondent is currently in compliance, but that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate, or I'm going to go ahead and impose a will fine, and then for every future violation, the respondent can be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Okay?
Now,
let me tell you, both of you, something you ought to be mindful of. It isn't going to help you when you come here in the future and go, well, I got a new manager, I got a new assistant manager, I got a new this, I got a new that. They didn't know any better. Doesn't matter. It's going to come back and land in y'all's laps. Because I've seen this time and time again, what's going to happen is somebody's going to get a new manager, they're going to go, wow, why don't we paint window signs up here? Why don't we spread flyers all over the community? I'm just forewarning you. You're subordinate to your responsibility, so please make sure you...
But I'm assuming he's taking responsibility for that. Absolving me out of the responsibility of so whatever he does.
Just be sure the police should be.
That's fine.
Right, good luck to you.
Thank you. That's not how
that
works.
That's not how it works? Okay. Yeah, explain to me, baby, so I just understand. Because I own other properties, but not in Daytona. But, sorry? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, gentlemen. Okay, case number 8, we had already continued. Case number 9, Abraham Connolly and 265 LLC, DBA Bishop's Tavern.
That is the one we're continuing. Delaying.
Just
fine
off the
figure.
What's that? I'm the one in the property, so
your attorney has contacted us, asked that we set it for 11:15, which is when he thought he could be back from.
11:15 this morning.
This morning. Okay. So he will be, he has indicated he would be here at 11:15, and so that's what we set it for. So
okay.
We
can just all right.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Case number 10, Florida LP. No rental license. Say the sit.
Your Honor, we're here for case number SMG-031314, the Florida LP, which is at 270 Dehun Holly Drive. And the violation is no rental license. The inspector is John Stinson, and I will call John Stinson to give testimony as to compliance or noncompliance. Officer Stinson, state your name.
John Stinson.
And Officer Stinson, you're inspector for the City of Daytona Beach?
Yes, I am.
And how long have you been an inspector?
7 years.
Okay, and did you have the occasion to inspect the property at 270 Dehun Holly Drive?
Yes, I did.
And when was that inspection?
The initial inspection was on 1/17/13.
And did you find that property to be in noncompliance?
Yes, I did.
What were the violations?
No occupational license, no rental license.
Okay, and as a result of the noncompliance, did you notify someone and ask them, give them a time to come into compliance?
I did.
And who did you notify?
I notified the property owner, the Florida LP, and the registered agent.
Okay. And did they come into compliance within the time period that you had required?
They have not yet brought it into compliance. They are in the process. They have applied for the occupational license on 2/15/13. The only thing that's outstanding now is for the physical inspection of the property, which they should have no problem passing.
Okay, so based on information you obtained, what is your request to the magistrate as to the time period for compliance?
City would like to request compliance be made for the May cutoff.
Okay. And that is, I have no other questions of Mr. Stinson.
All right, based on our inspector's testimony, I find the respondent being non-compliant. The board has responded to the compliance by, did you say April or May?
May.
By May 8, 2013, we're going to return to the special magistrate for imposition of, I think it's the administrative fine for failure to obtain occupation was?
That's correct.
50. Pardon?
1 times 250.
Very good. Case number 11, Chester Construction and Development Corporation is in compliance. Case number 12, Carl Woods.
Carl Woods.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Do you agree this violation exists and refer to the state of the notice of violation?
Excuse me?
Do you agree that there was outside storage as stated in the notice of violation?
Yeah.
I find the respondent non-compliance.
I didn't receive the letter anything from the city about that.
Mr. McKelvey, I have a few more details on this case. This is a case where there is a prior will fine that has been entered. It was entered back in April 12, 2011, and there even has been a sanction under that will fine in June of 2012. And so this is the second time back.
How much was he fined in June 2012?
The will fine was for $150, and then there was a running fine for $75 per day that ran for 10 days. And it took 10 days until he came into compliance. The inspector testimony would be if he was to testify that in addition, after these pictures, she's received correspondence from Mr. Woods indicating he's fenced the yard, which he has. He's put a fence around it and with the belief that that meant that there would be no more violation. However, as you're well aware, Mr. McAllister, the violation would remain even though he's put a 6-foot wooden fence around his yard.
So we have an active case for outside storage.
That's correct.
We have had previous outside storage cases with the respondent.
That's correct.
And in one of them, he has accumulated a fine for because he was 10 days late coming into compliance.
That's correct.
And in another one, after a will fine was put in place, he was actually found in violation of the will fine.
That would have been on the same violation. On that, the violation was, first he was sanctioned for the will fine, $150. Then he was cited for the continuous fine of the matter being in non-compliance, given a period to come into compliance, and after 10 days he came into compliance. So the history would be that there was the original violation that resulted in a will fine back in 2011. There was a violation in 2012 which resulted in a will fine, a fixed fine for $150, and then a running fine to come into compliance, and now he's here again, now in 2013, with the same type of violation.
You're like building and zoning's version of an habitual offender.
Well, Majesty, I...
Hang on a second before we proceed, because they're going through some new procedures over here. So, right now, Mr. Woods has suggested there's a problem with notice. What say the city on that?
I'll ask Mr. Stinson, I'll call John Stinson to speak to the issue of notice. He's questioning whether he's asking. That the violator or respondent is saying that he was not noticed, what's the, can you speak to notification of this violation?
The notification of this violation wasn't the same procedure as a CEB1 or initial NOV, along followed up by a CEB2, notice of hearing. He was already under will fine sanctions, so we go directly to notice of hearing. I would assume that Ms. Hampton sent it out. And she has a green card over there, so it was sent, certified, and received.
The amended notice of hearing is
So notification was made. And as you can tell by the photographs, they're each dated for different occurrences of the violation of the will fine for the outside storage. The last inspection on the property was on 3/11, to where I discovered the new 6-foot fence around the property, which he did have permits to install.
All right, what I'm hearing is that given your familiarity with our system, so to speak, notice of hearing suffices as far as the notice that you're entitled to. And there was an amended notice of hearing, I assume, moving the special magistrate proceeding from our typical day to this day due to a conflict that I have. And we received it. We have a return receipt signed by somebody.
What date?
Pardon?
What's the date on it? What's the date of that I received?
I have a copy, Mr. Fakelja. I'll show him. Here's the return receipt, and this is a signature. It appears to be Carl Woods.
On
3/12/13.
Okay. That's when I received it.
And this is what it looks like.
Okay, that's a real fine. I hadn't received anything about the property before I even came and got the permit for the fence. I realized that I was not in compliance with the property, and I had came and got a permit to, let me back up, I had a permit before to do the fence. My work fell off, so I never used the permit. So I renewed the permit that I got even before I got this from Mr. Stenson or from the city.
What does any of this have to do with the outside storage? It isn't supposed to be there.
Well, I was just saying that I was trying to get it right.
Well, you thought you were trying to get it right by building a 6-foot fence, hoping that that would somehow insulate you from, no pun intended, from anything the city had to say about the outside storage, but apparently you're telling us that the fence doesn't do that. So now, what are we doing about the outside storage? Or what haven't we done about the outside storage?
I'm cleaning it up. So, what are you telling me now?
Well, I'm not telling you anything. I'm asking questions. They're the ones telling me that you have been here before. You're no stranger to the issue of outside storage. You've been fined before. You've had a will fine put in place asking you not to have outside storage. You violated the will fine. And now they're telling me that you are here yet again for violating the will fine due to the outside storage. And they're wanting me, I'm sure, to fine you. That's what they're telling me. I'm not telling you anything right now. I'm trying to understand why we're still wrestling around with outside storage. Now, I guess part of your explanation was, well, I thought this fence would take care of it. Well, they're telling us the fence doesn't take care of it. So, before I decide what to do about this, what are your plans as far as the outside storage are concerned?
Clean it up.
Okay, and how much time is it going to take you to clean it up?
How much time do you want to give me?
Oh, about 2 weeks ago. But
okay.
How much time should it take you to get rid of it and keep it out?
Week, I guess. 2 weeks.
Okay. The respondent says it should take about 2 weeks to get the outside storage out of there. What say the city as far as the reasonableness of the request to use 2 weeks to get the storage out of there?
The recommendation of the inspector, Mr. Fakelja, was a fixed fine of $300 for the will fine and compliance by the next cutoff, which would be about a little more than two weeks, just a slight bit more than 2 weeks.
Today's the 19th. So, April 2, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, I guess you caught me on a good day, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to order that all outside storage be removed within 2 weeks, or by April 2, 2013. Failing that, you will be fined the sum of the $300 that you must be fined right now. So,
In 2 weeks, you get rid of the outside storage, this little episode is come and gone. In 2 weeks, you don't get rid of the outside storage, then strike one. If he doesn't get rid of the outside storage, then he due to have a running fine.
That's correct, yeah.
If you don't have the outside storage out in 2 weeks, then you'll be returned here for consideration of an additional fine and the $300 fine on the rule fine will go into effect.
Okay,
so you're going to get hit with a double whammy here if that stuff isn't gone in 2 weeks.
All right.
So let me make sure I've said this properly. I'm giving you till late, but I'm giving you the 2 weeks you asked for to get rid of all the outside storage. Failing that, the will fine order of $300 that they requested will go into effect. Failing that, you'll be returned to me yet again for consideration of an additional fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter for failing to comply with this particular fine. Okay.
Now, if I can have some clarification, Mr. Vicalja, just want to just make sure that we're on the same page or understanding each other. The position of the city is to request for an immediate fine.
I understand.
Okay, and I just want to, okay. And so you've been granting him a little grace and opportunity. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure we understood.
But if he's not in compliance by the second, that $300 will be
automatic. Not in compliance by the second? $300 will fine slams down, and you come back for our next meeting for imposition of the fine for failure to come into compliance with this violation. So you get in 2 weeks, get all the storage out of there. You call Mr. Stenson. Mr. Stenson says it all looks good to me. He puts a notice of compliance in there, and then you dodge a very expensive fine. Anything that's different than that happens, then it gets ugly, and it's beyond my control at that point. And four. Good luck to you.
All right.
Okay, I think with the exception of our 11:15 hearing, that's it. So unless you all have something else you want to bring to my attention, I guess we adjourn the meeting and reconvene at 11:15.
We have
just out of curiosity. Why did we agree to do this?
And so what he was requesting a continuance to the next meeting, which he had received the continuance from the previous meeting, and the alternative was scheduling an opportunity for him to rush back from his. They expected the land meeting to be only about 15 minutes or so. So he was going there to handle that matter, which he could not cancel. His staff made the effort to cancel. But it was something that they did not set and could not cancel, and so he went there and then was coming here immediately for on.
No problem. All right, well, maybe you've got my number. I'm going to go to my office if perchance his conflict should get extended.
Okay.
And we're going to be doing something different. Can you call up me? Otherwise, I'm going to the office. You've got my number. I'm going to be back here at 11:15.
Okay.
All right, we are adjourned to 11:15.
I appreciate you. Close enough.
All right. We will now resume the March 19, 2013 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings, specifically for the purpose of addressing item number 9 on our agenda. Abraham Connolly and 265 LLC DBA Bishop's Tavern. And we'll hear for the respondent.
Brett Hartley on behalf of respondent, Bishop's Tavern, and I guess I'm de facto going to be on behalf of Mr. Connolly.
All right. Will you be having anyone testify on behalf of the respondent?
I will. The gentleman from 226 will be testifying. Go ahead and state your full name for the hearing officer.
Step up to the microphone.
Step up, identify yourselves, and be sworn.
And route with some documents he ran back to the store to get it.
David G. Marshlack.
Just spell your last name for them.
Marshlack.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. What's that?
normal use protocol here, am I to inquire if they're going to stipulate to noncompliance, or do you want to put on a presentation?
Oh, no, you're welcome to make that inquiry, Mr. Kelton.
Does the respondent agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No.
All right, with that, then we will turn to the city, and it's the city's time to prove noncompliance.
Yes, Mr. Vakeljo, back on the record, Anthony Jackson for the City of Daytona Beach, Council for the City. This is case number SMG021313, and this is the business of Bishop's Tavern at 512 Seabreeze Boulevard. The inspector is John Stinson, and it's here before the magistrate for determination of compliance or non-compliance, and so the city would call John Stinson. Officer, state your name.
John Stinson.
And your occupation?
I'm code enforcement inspector with the city of Daytona Beach.
And how long have you been a code enforcement inspector?
7 years.
And as a code enforcement inspector, did you inspect the property at 512 Seabreeze Boulevard?
Yes, I did.
And when did you inspect that property?
The first inspection took place on 1/28/13.
Okay, and what was the why did that arise? What was the basis for going to for that inspection?
We were informed by the city zoning official that the business was operating in a non-conforming manner.
Okay. When you went to inspect, what did you find?
We found several violations, to include non-conforming use of the property, the alcoholic beverage sales, illegal signage, rodent harborage and infestation, and violation of the amplified sound ordinance.
Okay, and Inspector Stinson, I'm asking you if you can just go ahead and explain for the magistrate with a little bit more detail each one of those violations.
Yes.
And if you have any photos, you may want to make reference to those as well. Did you have photos?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
There are many photos that are scrolling at this time. The first violation of nonconforming use, the business of Bishop is licensed as a restaurant. It's currently or has been currently operating as a nightclub. When the managers were questioned about the restaurant and upon inspection, we can tell by the pictures that the kitchen was clearly inactive, being utilized as storage. Mind you, this is during the initial inspection. So just the fact that the kitchen was not in use, the kitchen systems were outdated, not inspected, they were not operating as a restaurant. So that covers the non-conforming use.
Let me ask you something before you move on from that. As to the restaurant, you said you made inquiry as to whether or not it was being used as a restaurant?
That's correct.
Who'd you ask?
We asked the manager on duty at the time.
And what did they tell you?
He said, well, yes, we do operate as a restaurant.
And was that consistent with what you found?
That was not consistent.
Okay. All right, go on.
The next violation is the alcoholic beverage sales. What is the ratio to alcohol beverage sales as opposed to normal restaurant sales? Clearly, the alcohol beverage sale surpasses the restaurant sales, being that there was no restaurant activities. The illegal signage is depicted in the picture of, I believe it's Exhibit 1. It's the main sign over pretty much all of the windows. Basically, to the east of the main building of Bishop. I believe it's acquired 2 or 3 more units to the east, and all the windows are covered. It's a clear glazing violation with all the... You can literally not see into the building at all. And I'll yell when she gets to it. Actually, if she just stops and goes to one of the big front pictures for a building, yes. All of those are glazing. It's a percentage of the window that needs to be clear, and that's clear violation of the illegal signage. The rodent harborage and the infestation violations are clearly depicted with evidence of rodents, evidence of infestation to include droppings, rat traps, things of that nature. And the last violation of Article 6, Section 42.211, the amplified noise sound. Sound system literally outside of the building, which is a noise violation. The sound is supposed to be contained inside the structure.
Okay, and there was no permit for it to be outside?
That's correct.
Okay, and when you said the you found rat droppings?
Yes, sir, along with the traps that are depicted in the pictures. In fact, there were probably about three traps in the kitchen itself.
Okay, and what's the roach infestation? When you say infestation, you mean roaches as well?
Yes.
And you saw roaches as well?
That's correct, and that's towards the rear of the building, probably closer to the garbage areas. Unfortunately, it's still inside.
Okay, did you inform someone of the violations that you found?
Yes, we did.
Who did you inform?
The manager on duty was given a handwritten notice of violation.
Okay, and you gave them a time that you expected this property to be in compliance?
Yes, we did.
And what was that time period?
I believe they were actually given maybe 2 days, 3 days to bring property in compliance.
And was it in compliance?
No, it was not. We came back for a reinspection the next weekend.
What did you find when you went to your reinspection?
There had been some changes. They had cleared out the kitchen. It was still not operational. They had got the kitchen hood systems inspected. Their fire extinguishers are inspected. The non-conforming use still existed. The alcoholic beverage violation still existed. Actually, all violations still exist.
Okay, did you do any follow-up inspections after that inspection?
Not after this last Saturday, no.
Okay, so your most recent inspection was?
Most recent inspection on the interior of the structure was Saturday night, this past Saturday night, and the exterior was last photographed yesterday morning.
Okay, and the violations you most recently described, those were the ones found on Saturday night?
That's correct.
Okay, and that included the burners not being in operation?
That's correct.
Okay. Was there any food being served?
Upon a reinspection, actually, where are we at? We're at Bishop's, I'm sorry. Actually, no. There was no food being served at that location at all. We were provided with these two pieces of paper, and they said that this was their menu for their restaurant. However, all the items on this menu are pretty much sandwich shop items. Where we have grilled chicken hoagie, club hoagies, roast beef hoagies, ham and cheese hoagies. All these don't really require cooking.
Okay. Now, was there any kind of fire operation? Was there like a grill or anything else going on at the business?
No, sir.
Outside, inside?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't... based on your testimony, what is your request of the magistrate?
The city is asking that the property be brought into compliance by the next cutoff, which is the April cutoff.
Yeah.
March, April, yes.
I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Stinson, Brad Hartley on behalf of the business. Let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, and I'll take this kind of backwards, so it's recency. Talking about the sandwich menu that you showed the hearing officer in this case, what about this menu is problematic from the city standpoint?
The city zoning official has seen this menu, and she has advised them that it was unacceptable.
And is a permissible or unpermissible menu or criteria for a menu contained within the code?
I don't have that answer.
Are you aware aware of any posted or written materials that would put an applicant for a permit on notice of what acceptable or unacceptable menus would be?
I don't have that answer as well.
Well, let me ask you then, how would somebody who's running a business be put on notice of what they're required as far as production of a menu?
Well, when a business decides to open in the city, they have to apply for an occupational license, a business license.
Okay.
During that process, they're informed by the zoning officer and the city building official of all the criteria that they have to meet.
So the fact of the matter is that what encompasses a restaurant is pretty much at the sole discretion of Colleen Lyles, correct?
I would say those departments in the city are responsible, correct?
So she's independently making rules regarding what's required of my client in the absence of written rules in the code. I mean, is that...
I don't have that answer.
Well, let me ask you, you indicated that the menu reflected foods that did not require to be cooked, but isn't the first food on there a grilled chicken sandwich?
It does state grilled chicken hoagie.
And I'm sure you like your chicken cooked.
Yes, I do.
And also, at the time you made an inspection into the business, isn't it true that it was done during the daytime?
That is not correct.
What time was it done at?
The initial inspection was done in the daytime.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Correct.
Okay.
The re-inspections were done while the business was in full operation.
What time of the day was that done at?
I would have to give you approximately 12:30 a.m., 1 a.m.
Okay. And was it busy at that time?
Oh, yes, sir.
And just in your experience, having done this for a while, do restaurants normally, in your experience, serve food at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning?
There has been occasion where I've seen it done.
Is it unusual for a business to have kitchen hours, that maybe they serve from 8 to 10 or 6 to 10 or something like that?
I have seen kitchens with specific hours.
So it's entirely possible that they had served food during that evening, it just wasn't serving food at that time?
And from the evidence from my inspection, it did not appear that the kitchen had been used all day.
Sure. Well, the stove, from what I understand, may not have been warm to the touch. Is that one of the indicators you used?
Well, as you can clearly see by the pictures, that the kitchen is clearly being used as a storage area and not as a kitchen.
That's on 125 2/3.
That is on 125.
Well, that's not the date of the inspection.
Mrs. Engineer, would you care to scroll through the pictures on a more current picture?
Sure.
Of
I can see it up there.
This past weekend. Anything that's actually dark, because it was nighttime on the reinspection, would be clear. Clearly, kitchen area utilizes storage. This is part of the re-inspection where they actually cleared out the kitchen. So that means they removed all of the storage in the kitchen. However, at that time, the kitchen still clearly isn't being used.
Well, when you say clearly, I mean, when you basically, I see, if I'm looking at the picture correctly, I see what appears to be materials used to wrap food, the weighing materials. I mean, if your testimony is correct, I mean, this is at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
That is normal equipment that is found in the kitchen.
Right.
That is correct.
But at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's entirely possible that they weren't using it for that purpose. So.
I would assume that it's possible.
Okay. As to... just working backwards here, you know, in dealing with the roads, you combine the rodents and infestation into one subject matter. At the time of the initial inspection, did you point out the rodent materials to the manager?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and do you see him here today?
And to be quite honest with you, I couldn't recognize him.
Okay, and did the management tell you that they utilized the services of a pest control company?
He did not mention a pest control service company.
Okay. Let me ask you a little bit about the amplified noise portion of the complaint. On the reinspection, did you notice that there was amplified noise outside?
Yes, we did.
And was that a basis for a violation or a continuing violation?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to take a look at what I'm handing. I haven't used this as an exhibit, but let me ask you tell the hearing officer what that is that you're looking at.
You've just handed me a sound amplification permit.
Okay, and was that sound amplification permit posted in the premises at the time you made the re-inspection?
It was not produced when we performed our inspection.
Was that issued by the department that makes these determinations?
According to the document you handed me, it's stamped by the City of Daytona Beach Permits and Licensing.
Who issues those permits?
There's quite a few personnel down there.
Okay. No, I'm just curious. Is that something that falls under the purview of one department, or is it a number of different departments?
Permits and Licensing issues the permits.
But that appears to be a valid license for doing that purpose?
It appears.
Okay. The illegal signage, you had posted some pictures about the illegal signage. Isn't it true that the signage that you're reflecting is not in the bishop's windows?
That is incorrect.
Well, you refer to a building to the, I think you said, to the east of the bishop's building.
That's correct.
Okay. When you re-inspected the businesses, was the signage changed?
Some signage had been removed.
Okay, and was some signage substantially reduced in size?
It had been reduced in size.
And why did they not get a passing score, so to speak, or a pass from you on that reinspection?
Because it wasn't completely removed.
Okay, let me ask you.
Some had been removed during the initial inspection. Well, we told him that needs to come down, this needs to come down, this needs to come down. And he began to remove them.
Are you allowed to have any signage in your windows?
You are allowed to have a certain percentage.
Okay. And did you calculate what the square footage was and what the percentage was?
I did not use the calculator. No, I did not.
And as to the bar restaurant, and this dovetails with the menu, on the re-inspection, did you ask the manager whether any of the restaurant equipment was functional?
No, I did not.
Did you inquire as to whether it had been inspected either by the health department or by the fire department?
No, I did not ask him that.
Did you see any certifications on any of the equipment indicating that it was functional and legal?
During the re-inspection, the equipment did have a valid inspection tag.
Okay, and during the re-inspection, did you check the refrigerators? Open them up. I don't mean check.
I don't recall.
Okay. Do you remember seeing any food in the refrigerators?
I remember when we did inspect, there was sparsely any food in there. Very little.
Is that on the initial or the re-inspection?
Mr. Couch, I can object just for clarification one question. I believe there was testimony of more than one re-inspection. Is that, I believe it was
one.
Was more than one re-inspection?
No, there was actually two. There was one couple days later and then one.
I won't make reference to re-inspection. I'm not sure.
I'll ask about either.
Okay.
I'll rephrase the question. How many times did you inspect it after the initial inspection?
The property has been inspected twice.
And during those two inspections, did you view whether there was food being held for service to people? Stock quantities of food?
I did view the contents of the refrigerators.
And was there food in there?
There was some edible products in there.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You had made statement regarding the basis for the violation being that the ratio of food to the ratio of alcohol indicated to you that this was primarily a bar and not a restaurant. Did you ask for copies of grocery receipts for the business on that evening?
No, I did not.
Did you talk to management or wait staff to indicate to you how much food had been sold related to liquor?
Well, there was no wait staff.
Okay. That and was at 1 o'clock in the morning, 12:30 in the morning?
That was correct.
Okay. Were there people serving drinks?
Actually, like I said, it was in full swing. Like I said, 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, so you're talking places fully occupied.
Okay. All right, I have no further questions.
No further questions to Mr. Stinson. The city would call.
Wait a second. When you say some edible products, what does that mean?
Condiments, pickles, bags of hot dogs, nothing that would constitute
a box of chicken wings ready to be fried or something like that?
Microwave Swedish meatballs.
Hamburgers waiting to be cooked up?
Like I said.
Bread products?
No.
So the edible products you remember seeing were condiments?
Condiments, small lunch meat, hot dogs. Nothing substantial, nothing like a meal.
Do you recall what the occupancy load of the building was?
No, I do not.
If I can just have one follow-up from your question, Mr. LeKelger. You do have a number of pictures, and I believe this is from your initial inspection of the refrigerator. And was there any the refrigerator at that time appeared to not be in use? Was that the condition?
That was my assessment as well. Yes, it did not appear that the refrigerator was being in use as a restaurant.
Okay. I don't have any other question.
I'm a little confused, and the picture's not up right now. The portion of the building that has the big Bishop sign on the front, is that like the west half of this building?
Yes.
I'm understanding this other part of the building that you're describing where you complained of the sign.
Okay, the main structure of 512 is the one with Bishop sign.
That shows the front.
The very first picture of the... Yep. Okay.
Am I looking at two different buildings there?
Actually, it's three. Yeah, the original Bishop on the far right.
Okay.
Then you see the line for the signage.
Right.
To the left of that are two more units to the east. Those are also being utilized and worked on by the owners of Bishop.
I don't understand. Looking at what would appear to be the self-contained Bishop's unit
mm-hmm.
right of that screen, once you get inside, is it actually open all the way to the other end of the east building?
No, it is not. No, it is not.
So what's the building to the east used for?
Right now, it appears during our inspection that it was under construction.
Okay, but that's the building you're saying that you found the signage?
The two buildings, correct, to the east.
Focusing back on the Bishop's portion of the restaurant, okay, so I guess that is a single unit, and that's where all these violations occurred that you're talking about with the exception of the signage?
Yes, sir.
Judge, I'm unclear. I'm just a little bit unclear. If I understand correctly, and maybe the city official can, this is 512, correct?
That's correct.
That first building to the right is 512. Do those two separate storefronts, are they under separate street numbers?
When you say a building to the right, you're talking about the one that says Bishop's above it?
Right, in a different color. From that side forward, that is 512 Seabreeze, correct?
That is 512 Seabreeze.
Is there separate numbers for the two different buildings to the left?
I don't know that for a fact, but I would say yes.
Okay, it's important because this has been noticed for a hearing as to 512, as to violations on 512. So I want to make sure. So the signage you're referring to was in the buildings that are not in 512. They're the adjacent ones, I would assume, to the east of that building.
That's correct. Okay. I believe I have a close-up of those pictures that also shows signage for the Bishop's business in those two units.
So we have Bishop at 512.
Correct.
Operating as a something. And we have signage for Bishop in the windows of the neighboring buildings.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
No, sir. And I just...
Okay, what, if any, and there's no business being conducted in these separate buildings?
Not currently, no. They're currently, I would have to assume, being renovated.
And these are the windows that you complained of. Not only is it the signage, something about some glazing?
Right, the signage and glazing.
It's seeing in?
Correct. Right, upon initial inspection, the window was completely covered. I mean, completely. Upon the re-inspection, the brown papering had been removed.
Right. So just so I can be clear, the non-conforming use as a bar instead of a restaurant you're complaining about occurred at 512.
That's correct.
The alcoholic beverages primarily being served you're complaining about was at 512.
Yes.
The illegal signage you're complaining about was at 512, as well as the neighboring buildings that had Bishop signage?
Yes.
The road harborage you're complaining about, was that in 512?
Yes.
And the infestation, I assume, is one and the same?
Yes.
And the amplified sound noise violation, that came from 512 as well?
Yes.
And you were shown a permit, something about amplified noise, I assume that was issued for 512?
That's what it said, yes.
And just clarification on the permit, that was issued after the fact, after the initial inspection?
I believe the date on the document he showed me said
131.
Now, mind you, the issue with the document was that it was unable to be produced while we were there on site.
Okay, and your initial inspection was when?
125.
Okay. And you gave them 48 hours to come to compliance?
Yes, sir.
I thought you testified the initial was 128.
Hang on. That's correct. You're correct. 128.
I don't have any other questions, sir. Mr. Inspector.
Official.
Anyone else?
Yes, I'll call Hector Garcia. State your name.
Hector Garcia.
Occupation?
I am the head of code enforcement.
Okay, and Mr. Garcia, were you involved with the inspections of a property there at 512 Seabreeze Boulevard?
Yes, sir.
And you've heard the testimony as to those inspections. And at those inspections, with a little clarity, I think there may have been a little confusion as to the issues of non-compliance. First, can you clarify when the inspection and then the re-inspection occurred?
The initial inspection was done on January 25th, 2013, at approximately 11:30, 12 o'clock in that time frame, give or take a half hour. The inspection was conducted due to a complaint that was given by the zoning officer in regards to non-conforming use of the business. The business is licensed as a restaurant / bar. It has to have a fully functional operational, it has to be a fully functional restaurant. There are no tables inside the establishment, no waiter service. Upon our initial inspection, the kitchen was utilized, as Officer Sensen stated, as a storage facility. This was brought out, was made notice to the manager at the time that was on duty, which is, for proper identification, the gentleman that's sitting here at the corner end with jeans and a beige shirt. We asked him, was the kitchen operational? He stated no, at which time he was advised that he needed to come into compliance and was given the 25th of January was on a Friday. We said we'd come back on Monday to do a reinspection.
And you went back and did that re-inspection?
Officer Stenson went back during the day. Myself, Officer Stenson, along with another officer, went out this past Saturday, did another inspection, at which time we checked. Again, there were no tables or chairs for seating area for people to sit and eat. We checked the kitchen area. Again, the kitchen was non-functional. Was it cleaned up? Yes, it was. But again, when asked, you know, where's your menu? We were handed a piece of paper with the several items that were listed on there, and they stated this is the menu. You know, again, the kitchen was not functional. Was the kitchen, was as counsel stated, did we check the stove for heat or anything like that? No, we did not. It's obvious and to the naked eye that the kitchen was not functional. There was no chefs back there, no cooks, no nothing.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
No questions.
No,
No, the city will rest on.
Yes, sir. I call the business owner, David Marshall. Out. Just step right up there. And I'm just going to ask you questions from here just because I got my stuff spread out.
Okay.
Go ahead and state your full name.
David G. Marshlack.
And Mr. Marshlack, how are you related to Bishop's or the location?
Managing member.
Okay. And
what did you say?
Managing member.
And essentially makes you the owner of the LLC.
Yes.
That has it. And how is the business licensed or permitted?
I don't know. What do you mean?
The business is, let me ask you this. When you walk me through the process for you getting a license to open.
We went down to the city when we rented the building, took our lease down there, sat with Colleen Miles. She told us what permits we needed to get.
Okay.
We paid for the permits, walked out with the permits, and
okay.
That was
any
the end of it.
Any representations to you regarding what was required of you to have a compliant restaurant / bar?
No, just that we needed to serve food. That was it.
Okay. Did she provide you the menu or any indications of what was required?
Absolutely not.
Was there any written materials provided to you besides the code that you got off municode.com?
No, sir.
Did Ms. Miles direct you to anyone else within the city of Daytona Beach as to what was required of you as far as what your menu was?
I mean, I know everybody in the city, you know, from being at other places, but no. She gave me the license. I walked out with it, and we hung it up.
Okay. When you opened initially the business, did you have a menu that you used?
Yes.
Okay. And that menu, is that the same as the menu that's provided to the hearing officer here today?
No, it's different.
Okay. And how was it different?
It was more of a like a rice bowl menu where we did different types of rice bowls and things like that.
Okay. And the menu that you have today or that's been shown to the hearing officer today, is that the menu that the business currently uses?
Yes.
And are the materials that are used to construct those meals, are those contained within the building?
Absolutely.
And tell me a little bit about the kitchen. There's been some testimony that the day of the initial inspection, which I guess was done on 1/25 of 2013. Was the kitchen functional on that day at 11 to 12 o'clock in the morning?
I mean, I guess there's different levels of functionality. If we were going to cook steaks and other things, then I guess the answer would be no. I mean, to cook, to make subs and things like that, the answer would be yes.
Okay. Was there food supplies in the building on 1/25 of 2013?
There was some, and there was also an order that came in, I believe, later that day or the next day.
Was that order placed in advance of the inspection?
Absolutely.
And was that order placed in anticipation of an inspection, or was the inspection random or not?
I believe it was random. I mean, they came in. And
okay, and is that receipt?
Let me grab my glasses.
I'm sorry. I'll get into the age for readers are necessary.
Yeah. Okay.
The documents that I've handed you, what are those?
They're from U.S. Foods.
And does it show a date that was ordered?
The billing date looks like 1/31.
Okay. And was that food delivered to your restaurant?
Yes.
And was that delivered prior to the inspection date?
Prior to the original inspection? No.
1/25 inspection?
No.
It was came subsequent to it?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about what foods the restaurant currently serves right now. Does that menu accurately reflect it?
Yes.
Is there plans to expand the menu that the restaurant serves?
Yes. Part of that building confusion, I don't know if you want to get into it now, we've leased the other building, which are two units. We're not using them at all. We are submitting a permit, actually plans, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. That would be more of a, I don't know how to explain it, sort of like a tapas, a little bit more involved menu.
Okay. Would it use the same kitchen?
Yes.
Okay, so that kitchen will service two buildings instead of one?
Well, they'll be continuous. We've got the landlord's approval. We're cutting the buildings together, and they'll become one. But right now, they have no connection at all.
As of today, is that kitchen functional?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Has that kitchen been inspected by the fire department?
I don't know the fire. I mean, the fire department comes random once a year.
Sure.
I know you call the fire companies that come out and do the pre-inspection to get you up to compliance, but I think they only come once a year, so I couldn't answer if they've been there this year or not.
Has the health department been out there?
Yeah, we got a great rating on the health department.
Okay, and when was that inspection done?
Within the last 2 weeks.
Did they provide you with an inspection report or with
yes.
the capacity?
Yes.
Do you have that copy with you?
Yes, we do.
Does this binder contain the materials that the health department left with you?
Yes.
And can you just...
February 21st was the inspection date.
Okay. Pull the whole inspection report out if you can.
I believe this is it, right?
Okay. And if I could just approach and share this with you. I'm not submitting it as evidence. I just want to review that.
So that inspection reflected that that you actually had food materials in the building and that the...
Yeah, she states it right on there, the food that we had in the building.
Okay. Does she state in the inspection report what the outcome of that inspection was?
I believe so. I believe we passed.
Was there anything that you needed to address or any changes you need to make to the business?
I don't believe so.
Okay. At this time today, is that stove in operating condition?
Yes.
Is it used to grill chicken or any other materials in preparation for
your... If somebody was to order grilled chicken, yeah, we would grill it.
Okay. And who do you have staff that has the ability to cook in the restaurant when ordered?
Yeah, all of our staff. We have what we would call them a bar back, a waiter, whatever. They're not really waiting on tables, but they are all trained. Most of them work other jobs in kitchens and their chefs and
How
stuff.
How many employees do you have when you're open?
Total?
Yeah.
10 to 12.
Okay. And how much food do you... Well, let me ask you this. Do you serve food every evening?
If it's ordered, yes.
Do you have people placing orders for food?
Occasionally, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of, people come in and get stuff to go, sandwiches and things to go and stuff.
Okay. Let me ask you about the signage issue. The pictures that were shown to you, first of all, 512 reflects just the Bishop's business, correct?
That's correct.
The other addresses, what are they for those two other buildings?
I believe it's 518 and... 520 or something, I'm not real sure.
Are any business entities currently occupying those two buildings in function?
No, sir.
Was there ever any work being done in those buildings that would have required a permit?
No, the only thing we ever did was when the lady moved out and we took possession, we went in and cleaned out all her garbage, swept it out. There was two spots in the building that the ceiling caved in from a leaky roof, which we contacted the landlord. He fixed. You can still go in there now and see where the ceiling has, fallen in. We swept all that up, cleaned it up. We had it in a pile. But other than that, we have done no. They were just two square buildings. The bathrooms are still there. Everything.
Any construction done inside of either of those other two units?
No.
When you covered, or when the windows in the other two units, he refers to them as being completely covered. Describe for the court what was done.
We just took the brown craft paper and covered the windows just because it looked horrible. You've got, nice places on both sides of you, and, the ceiling was caving in, where the roof wasn't fixed and things like that. So we just took brown craft paper and covered the windows so that people wouldn't look inside and it would look horrible.
Was there any people utilizing the inside of that building as a business
No.
that would have required them to have visual in, visual out?
No.
Okay, have you since removed that paper?
Yeah, when they came and did the inspections, Stefan called me and told me that they wanted the paper removed and they had given him permission to keep one sign or two signs up in each spot and to take the other ones down, which I was angry about. I said, I don't know why they want me to uncover my window. If I want to put curtains up in my window, they shouldn't be able to stop me because it looks horrible inside there.
Okay. As to the signage that you see here reflected on the screens, is that signage in the Bishop's windows or in the...
That's not signage. That's a horrible picture. That is a postcard that is on a little plaque out front. It makes it look like a big sign. That's not even on our window. That's outside on a rail. It's a little square box that has four postcards on it.
Show the court with your hand approximately how big that is.
It's a postcard. It's that big. All those right there.
Okay. And approximately how many are there?
Four, I believe.
Okay.
Maybe
look
five.
At these other signs. Look at these other signs. Is that the door to Bishop's?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the interior of Bishop's?
Yes.
Keep scrolling. The other signage that's in holler when you see one come up. The other signage that's in the windows of 512, which would be Bishop's. What other things are up there? Is there anything other than those postcard size?
No, there's a TV. I think there's a small ATM sign.
Okay.
That's it. There's the legal ones that we have to have, the ones that the state gives you that says, I think you must ID everybody. Right. Those type signs are there.
Okay.
But the ones that they're taking pictures of, it's an amazing picture because they're literally postcards. And they're not even on the window. They're out front in a little picture frame mounted to the rail. And they make them look like they're a huge poster. They're not.
Okay. How about on the adjacent properties? Again, are those larger posters?
Yes, yes. And like I said, when they came out, Stefan called me that night and he said that they told him he could keep one on each one, pull the paper down, pull the other ones down, which is what we've done. That was done that night, and now they're saying that that's not what they told us. I'm sure he'll testify. They told him he could leave one of each. And it's not Bishop signage. It's the new company names.
Okay. Let me ask you about the were you there on the day that they did the initial inspection?
No.
Okay. The amplified noise permit, I've showed him a copy of a for the permanent licensing division of the amplified of the sound amplification permit.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the issue with that permit is it is dated 131. Was there a permit that existed prior to that?
Yes, this is actually my drawing that was done on the original permit. I'm assuming, based on this, that it probably expired. You know, and then when he found out about it, because this was done, I drew this in Colleen's office when we received our first permit.
Okay.
This is actually my drawing.
To your recollection, did you receive a sound amplification permit on the day that you received your initial permit?
Yes.
At the opening?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have a copy of that with you, or is this the only one you have?
This is the only one that I would have. And that is posted in the club.
Okay.
There's copies of all our licenses posted at the end of the bar. We have all our sales tax, everything.
On the issue of licensing, does this business function under an SRX license?
No.
Okay, you have a 4 COP?
Well, SRX is a 4 COP. I have a 4 COP quota, which is a straight liquor license, does not require me to sell food.
Okay. Did Ms. Miles ever indicate to you that you had a required minimum seating in that restaurant in order to function?
I believe there was a form that I signed when I got the license that told me that I had to have, you know, so many seats and I had to have certain things.
Okay, let's talk about the seating in the restaurant. Approximately how many people does that restaurant seat?
It depends. Well, you know, it depends. If you count the bar areas and all that, we easily have 70, 80 seats in there.
Okay, how about the seating on the wall? What is that?
We have permanent seating probably for somewhere around 30 that never moves.
Okay.
And the other argument I have is we have 40 seats outside under a covered balcony that was permitted by them that they tell me I'm not allowed to use and count, makes no sense to me.
How about internal seating in the restaurant? I know that there's some pictures of tables and chairs, or only a couple tables and chairs. How many tables and chairs does the restaurant have access to, or the ability to place in there?
Including the ones that are under the front patio?
Yeah.
15.
Is there times during the evening or during open business hours when you move tables and chairs around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there ever a point in time when there are not tables and chairs that are...
If you stop right there at that picture, I can answer that. Those tables right there along the wall, the black tables,
the
black ones,
okay,
are permanently mounted and cannot be moved. In the back corner underneath the Florida Lee, there is a permanent booth that holds 8 to 10 people,
okay,
that cannot be moved.
How about these?
Those tables occasionally be pulled out. They'll be moved to the back. They'll be pulled out front if people want to sit outside. You know, again, with the smoking law, you get more people now that want to sit underneath the patio out front than that want to sit inside, so we'll push those outside.
Okay.
But those black cannot be removed. The back booth cannot be removed. And that center area, which you can barely see, has them, and they cannot be removed.
Okay.
There's the booth right there. It cannot be moved.
Okay. To your knowledge, when you've been in that restaurant, have you ever had rat infestation problems?
Absolutely not. We've had, and I fight with my manager about this because he uses Ecolab, which is the most expensive in the industry, and he believes in them. He's been in the restaurant business a long time. We've had Ecolab since the day we've opened, and when he was so out of everything that we got cited for that night, that upset him the most because that meant that his restaurant was dirty. And I asked him, I said, did they show you where this was? And he said they never said anything. He was amazed when the ticket came in. It was never mentioned to him that night until the ticket came in, and that's when he was told about it.
Had the health inspectors ever indicated anything?
Absolutely not.
Is that a criteria that they...
Absolutely. Okay. They would be on you quick.
I don't have any other questions. Mr. Jackson may have some questions for you.
Tony, if I could be looking for just a second.
Can we run them off?
Can you do me a favor? Could you call my office and just tell them I will be back until there's somebody waiting there for me?
Okay.
Just tell them I won't be
there. Sorry, Judge.
If you would just tell him if he wants to come in there at 1:30.
Brett, make sure we get the health paper back.
Yeah.
So, whoever's there waiting is happy to 1:30?
Yeah, if they can make it, whatever. Thank you.
Can I see the
Oh, I think I have it, don't
I? No, I handed it.
Okay.
That's her only copy, too, Nancy. I got to get that back.
Yes, sir.
You agree that the inspection date was January 25th. That's what the inspector indicates.
There was like, that was confused too, because the date was written wrong on the ticket, and so I can't sit here today and tell you the exact date.
Okay. When you were asked about food, did you have food on order? How much food did you have on order?
I mean, I'm not sure. I have the invoice, you can look. But there's lunch meats, hoagie rolls. There was chicken ordered. You know, based on whatever we had or we didn't have. Tomatoes, lettuce, that kind of stuff.
And how much food do you serve on a typical night?
I don't know that there's a typical night. I couldn't answer that. I don't have my sales figures, but we do sell food.
And how much cooking do you do on your business on a typical day?
Very little cooking. It's subs. Chicken sandwiches we'll cook. Very little. We'll pre-cook a lot of it.
So it wouldn't be surprising for the kitchen to have the appearance of nothing being in use?
Again, I think we can argue the nothing being in use. Are you asking, you're using the word kitchen. No, the kitchen's in use. You've got soda guns in there. You've got, you know, your pictures do not show the salad prep area or where you make your sandwiches. It's on the opposite wall. You're showing a grill. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm selling ice cream, I'm not going to use a grill. So if I'm making a sub, there's no reason for my grill to be on. If I pre-cook all my chicken for the night, keep it in the freezer when I need it, microwave it, make my sandwiches, then no, my grill doesn't need to be on 24 hours. Why would I pay to have my gas running all the time when I only use it a very short period? So did my kitchen appear to be used? Yes.
And that's what you do. You pre-cook. That's what you did. You pre-cooked everything?
Well, a lot of it doesn't need to be cooked. A lot of it's lunch meats and sandwiches if you read the menu. The chicken's the only thing.
Okay, now, you advertise your business as a bar and lounge.
And a cuisine. It's right on the front of the building. If you look at
your general advertisement, this advertises as bar and lounge.
But I guess it depends where I advertise. If I'm going after, you know, a clientele that to come to a bar, then I advertise to a bar. It's different parts of the business. But if the front of the building clearly states Tavern Lounge Cuisine, it's across the front of the building.
No, I'm not having any other questions.
No further questions, Judge.
Tell me, isn't there supposed to be a ratio here of food to alcohol? What's it supposed to do?
Actually, not the ordinance.
And I think you previously asked that. What is that? Your sale of food to alcohol?
I don't have my numbers because nobody requested them, but I read the ordinance. I didn't see that. I saw a ratio of seating and area, but I didn't see anything based on sales. It's that's if you have an ATF liquor license, like an SRX. That's based, but in their ordinance, it doesn't say anything about percentage of sales that I saw.
Can you estimate your percentage of food and beverage sales?
I couldn't tell you sitting here. I'd have to pull the sales because we do to go sales.
Can you tell me who's more knowledgeable than you?
What's that?
You can't tell me who's more knowledgeable than you.
My bookkeeper is back home.
We have a manager here.
And a manager, too.
15%. To be sworn.
About
15%.
Sir, you need to be sworn first.
Yes,
you're
going to
talk.
I'll get you
up there. Because I did obtain the agreement that he referenced that he signed for, would you And I would like to introduce that.
What do I do with my glasses?
Your glasses are in hell.
Sorry.
It's a problem.
Again, it's the same thing that I've said. We do have a full-service kitchen. It's operational. We do. It's less than 25% food. It doesn't say anything about the amount of food that I have to sell. It doesn't say what type of food I have to sell. It just says the occupancy floor space, and it just says that I have to have my system up to par. It doesn't tell me I can't serve subs. It doesn't tell me any of that. Nothing says it is. There's no rather.
And just for clarification, this is nothing about the ordinance. I'll provide that as well.
What is that?
This is a copy of the ordinance.
Let's just make sure it's the same one I have. Make sure we're down there writing the new one.
Mr. Bukowski, could you make sure you speak into the microphone, please? Thank you.
I'm sorry. Can somebody give me the Reader's Digest version of this? What does it mean?
Mr. Bukowski, gives you the restaurant definition there. An establishment will bill for or prepare food, including beverages and confections, or serve to customers. Restaurants are classified in the following three categories. A1 are conventional restaurants, short order, or drive-in restaurant. As a conventional restaurant, are those having 100 seats or more at a table of booths? Number of common stews shall not exceed 15% of the total number of seats. All service shall be indoors. No service permitted at walk-up windows, drive-up windows, or in parking cars. And that would be the use that they would have been approved for, and that's what we're preparing this for, non-conforming use. I don't know if we're calling any other witnesses.
Are you done with me?
Okay, back up and say that part again. So what is it that you're honing in on?
The non-conformance is that it's not operating in accordance to the restaurant
No. Okay, well, I'm looking at something talking about alcoholic beverages.
Another page, different area.
What page are you on?
I don't believe it's the one.
I have the ordinance in front of me. Just refer to what numbered section.
Okay, all right. So again, we're all right.
What part are you looking at?
The copy of the alcoholic beverage section.
Okay, and is this have anything to do with this respondent?
Does that pertain to this respondent?
I have two copies.
That's 512, that's 509.
Sorry.
Well, that's a different client.
Yeah, so. Thank you.
Okay, are we done with the witnesses?
I just have one quick, just to add a little bit of physical evidence for you. And he needs to be sworn. He was the one that was running late.
I don't have any other questions. Look at
Marsh.
Mr. Marshlett and
last witness I recall would be Stephen Starvis. And Stephen, up there, just raise your right hand. I never swear you.
What was the last name?
Starvis, S-T-A.
S-T-A-V-R.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
E-R.
I-S? That's right.
Great guys.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Just go ahead and state your full name.
Stephen Peter Stavros.
And where are you currently employed?
I'm employed at Bishop Tavern and Lounge.
In what capacity are you employed there?
I'm the general manager.
Okay. Were you present when the initial inspection was done by the city of Daytona Beach?
Yes, I was.
What date was that done on?
I believe it was the 25th.
Okay. Of January?
Yes, sir.
And during the course of that inspection, did the city go back and inspect your kitchen and your facility?
Yes, they did.
And was your kitchen functioning on that particular day?
It was functioning, yes.
Okay. Was it being used on that particular day?
Not at that time.
Okay. What time of the day was it?
I think they were there. Was it Saturday night? I believe it was around midnight.
No. The first inspection was, according to his testimony, was or Mr. Stinson's testimony, was approximately 11 to 12 in the morning on the 25th of January.
Oh, that was the second time they came in.
No, it was the first time. The initial inspection, January 25th. Was that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're not even open until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. That's the next question for you. What are your business hours?
4 to 3.
Okay. During those business hours, do you serve food?
Yes.
From what time to what time do you serve food?
It's sporadic. It's back there. I have two bar backs and a security guy that'll, if whoever's free and a ticket goes back there, they'll go back there and make a sandwich for somebody. If it's to go, it's chips, it's simple. Okay. Actually, one of my bar backs is a culinary chef.
On the date of that initial inspection, did you have food in the facility?
No, I didn't.
And why did you not have food there?
Because it was coming.
Okay. Were you waiting on the delivery from U.S. Foods?
Yes, sir.
That invoice that I presented to David Marshlack, is that invoice one that was...
That was the order I had placed.
Was that the order that you were waiting on to be delivered?
Yes, sir.
Was it to be delivered that day?
The order usually comes on Thursdays. It's the day they get delivered.
Okay, did you have food there prior to this order being placed? Did this replenish food?
This replaced it, yes.
Okay, can I show this? Yes. Is U.S. Foods the vendor that you use to supply the restaurant with food?
Yes, I use them for.
Let me ask you a little bit just about the kitchen itself. At any point in time, has the kitchen been non-functional? Like in unable
as
to function?
Code? No,
yeah,
never.
Okay, right. I'm showing you some pictures which I'm going to submit to the hearing officer, and these reflect the kitchen.
Yes, sir.
And the equipment in the kitchen?
Yes, sir.
And does that reflect how it was on the day in question?
Yes, sir.
Now, the city has shown some pictures that indicate there were some things sitting on top of the actual stove. What were those things?
Things happen. If I got a delivery or something, it comes in the back door. If we get busy, they start doing stuff, and then they'll move them to where they belong. When the truck driver drops, he'll drop. And then when the bar backs come in, they'll take their food and they'll put them on certain shelves or where they'll put them.
But 11 o'clock in the morning is unusual for those items to be placed.
No, yeah, I wait till the bar backs get there at 4 o'clock and they'll put stuff away.
During the day that the initial inspection had taken place, at the time of the inspection, was the business open and functioning? Okay.
Yeah, no, we weren't. I actually met them there by coincidence. I came over to get the sound permit from Colleen, and she said, oh, we're going to be on Seabreeze at 5:09 in a half hour. I said, I'll be there. So I went across the street, went back to the bar, and then they came across the way.
5:09 is across the street, correct?
Yes, sir.
Is that okay? Let me ask you about the rodents or the infestation. Did the inspection officer show you any rodent droppings?
No.
Were there any rodent droppings visible to the eye?
No.
Does the business use an exterminator?
Yes, sir.
And you use Ecolabs?
Yes, sir.
During the period of time that Ecolabs has serviced that business, have they ever had infestation issues?
Never.
Have you ever had any citations from the health department regarding infestation or roach materials or rodent materials?
Never.
Okay. As to the amplified sound permit, did an amplified sound permit exist prior to the subsequent January 31st permit?
Yes, we had one. It went out of date, and then we got a new one.
Okay. That's the only questions I have, Judge.
Just have a couple of questions. What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Stephan.
Stephan?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. You didn't.
And what did you say your role is at the...
I'm the general manager.
You're the general manager.
Yes,
Stephan, I'm going to hand you this. What is that?
That's our sandwich menu.
Okay.
It's when they're displayed, this is half of it. Actually, how it goes, it's double-sided, and it's a tabletop. Like, if you go into an establishment, and they sit on all the tables, and you can look at, like, if you go to an Applebee's or something, and they have something that they're pushing that day, you know how special's on it, and you pick up what's on the table.
So
it's a table tent.
So it's your testimony that y'all have an additional menu? Because the guy said y'all had no other menu.
This is the menu I offer.
Okay, so it's the only menu.
Yes, I call it a sandwich menu because it's sandwich.
Okay, and I'm going to just go ahead and introduce this into evidence. And as you said, it's a sandwich menu.
Yes, sir. There's a grilled chicken sandwich on it, and sub, turkey sub, ham sub, and all sorts of.
When was that created, that menu?
We created that menu when the other menu wasn't working well for us because it was business and financially not.
The inspector testified that no menu was shown or made available when he inspected initially.
I gave it to him.
You gave him that?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure did.
Now, you said you'll prepare sandwiches. Do you have a store preparation area for sandwich preparation?
To the left, there's a salad top unit where there's two stand-ups you look at. There's two stand-ups. A salad top is two refrigerators underneath. And a salad top unit is basically you got a sneeze guard that you lift up, and you have your items there with a cutting board on it.
Okay. None of that was available or visible for any inspections. Is that correct?
All that was there. Sure was.
Okay, well, the inspectors said that they didn't see any food.
I tend to disagree.
Okay.
Because it was all theirs. Nothing has been moved in the kitchen. All the equipment's been in the same place.
Okay, and there were pictures of storage and stacking that was in the kitchen.
Like I said, stuff comes in on a truck, you drop it. If we're busy and we move chairs aside so it opens up flow for the restaurant, we'll move them into the back.
So things are moved?
Yeah, things are moved out.
Okay.
You'll move tables. If you come in with your family and say, I want to sit outside, I'm not going to tell you no. I'm going to pick up a table. I want to bring it outside.
I don't have any other questions.
I have no further questions, Judge. You can have
Mr. Sturvis?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Sturvis?
Yes, sir.
Is it your contention this is a bar supporting a restaurant or a restaurant supporting a bar?
We have higher liquor sales, yes. Our liquor sales are probably 85% of what we do.
So would you consider the bar to be nothing more than an accessory use to the restaurant?
I wouldn't call it an accessory. It's our higher items. It supports us, yes. It definitely supports us.
And what food do you actually cook and prepare in your kitchen?
Everything's a prep stuff. Cook, I have no hot items. The chicken breast I offer.
When you say prep stuff, you mean like?
You'll cut your tomatoes.
Cook when you get it from the vendor at the most part?
What I meant for prep stuff is like you'll take your turkey breast and you slice it and you weigh it and you have it portioned. And then you'll take your cold cut products and then you'll take your hams and you'll have your setups with your tomatoes and your lettuce. So when they come in and they order a sub, you can lay it all out. The sub rolls are there and it's quicker for them. And it's actually weighed and portioned, so I know exactly how much I'm spending.
Okay, well, what cooking is
done? Just the chicken breast. It comes in, and it's a pre-cooked item, but you still have to heat it on the flat top.
Okay, is it your contention the bar area doesn't occupy more than 25% of the floor area of the restaurant?
The bar top space?
Bar area. I would assume that's the bar, or wherever it is.
Yeah, the bar is roughly 20 feet long. I run there's about 15 stools at the bar. In the bar top.
And as I understand a bit about the seating ebbs and flows from inside and outside based on your smokers.
Yes, sir. And what they prefer. I mean, honestly, if I have people sitting out front, it gives us a buzz, and people look over and it looks busy. So it's actually better for me to have them sit on the patio.
And I'm looking at this requirements of this agreement. It says alcoholic beverages are not sold or dispensed unless the kitchen is open and prepared food is available to patrons. Doesn't that conflict with what you just told me about how come midnight you might shut down the kitchen?
I don't.
You're required to keep that kitchen open all the time that you're serving alcohol?
I wasn't aware of that. I just was aware of if nobody's ordering food, the bar backs concentrate on what they do. If they want a sub, it would take me 2 seconds to go back there and make them a sub.
Okay. What percentage of your revenues would you estimate are attributable to the restaurant business?
15%. 15 to 20%, roughly.
All right. Any other questions?
I have one other question. As a hearing officer asked you in relation to your money that you earn at the business, is it a fair statement to say that liquor has a higher profit margin than food?
Much.
Okay. Statistically, when you do your point of sale calculations, so on and so forth, what's the profit margin on food?
Food, you'll roughly run 27 to 31. Cents on the dollar. Liquor, you'll roughly run 15 to 17 cents on the dollar.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Any other witnesses?
No, sir.
Thanks. Any other witnesses?
No.
Okay. I'll find you respondent non-compliance. How much time do you have for compliance, Mr. City Attorney?
Just a moment. Are you okay with the answer?
We would ask that you give them till a May cutoff, which would just allow them to get everything in order. We believe 2 weeks may be a little bit pushing it, and so the inspectors asked for the May cutoff.
Well, I would like, for my own benefit, some specification from the city as to what constitutes compliance.
Right, and that's what our concern was.
Okay, just a second, Bill.
Sorry.
And I believe staff is recommending that in order to come into compliance, whether an unscheduled visit or a scheduled visit, tables and chairs be placed out on the floor, the kitchen be fully operational.
Okay.
What's the other one? For the signage, they got to get the proper permits.
Help me out here.
Well, the signage on the windows is only required, the ordinance says 25%. If they're going to go past that, they have to apply for permits.
And that is of the square footage of the glass?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me jump in here. Let me try to interject some clarification here. Signage thing didn't bother me at all. I don't understand it still. So that's not my focus. And it sounds to me as though this business is evolving toward a restaurant, or more toward a restaurant. Let me just say it that way. So I'm going to assume it's going to continue evolving toward a restaurant. I'm going to assume the signage thing, I didn't understand at all. The road and harborage sounds to me like it's probably been remedied already. If it's not, it certainly will be, which take care of the infestation. And I'm assuming the amplified noise violation is no longer an issue if they have the permit they managed about. Is that a fair assessment?
I gotta get that back.
It appears that that's fine. I guess the real point, Mr. Bacall, just, and I think you're about to say it, is that another inspection will, a lot of these things, the things they, as he testified things that have occurred that our inspector has not become aware of even on his re-inspections.
Again, I'm not much of a student. We are where we are right now. I'm more interested in where we are going forward. I found them in noncompliance. I'm going to give them time to commit to compliance.
I'm only yapping here because I want both sides to understand the areas that were of concern to me. The signage was not. The road and harborage sounds as though it's resolved. The amplified sound sounds as though it's resolved. The underpinnings of this whole thing is whether or not they're actually walking and talking like a restaurant instead of walking and talking like a bar. Sounds as though they're making progress in that direction. That's my primary area of concern. But at the same time, I was going to take this opportunity to give the city an opportunity to explain some of the things they'd be looking for to satisfy themselves, as well as myself, that the respondent is in compliance should this matter come before me again. And so I guess what I'm hearing is you want to see an operating, functioning kitchen.
Yes.
You want to see some seating inside the restaurant.
That's correct.
Okay. What else?
We'd like to see, you know, menus that reflect that they're serving as a restaurant would serve food and meals.
It's definitely an eclectic menu, but I can't say it's not a menu.
Yeah.
So, which, and quite frankly, if the revenues from this menu meet, exceed, or come close to the proportions they're supposed to, then the menu's a non-issue. But I understand what you're saying. You're telling me it's an indicator.
Okay, well, ultimately, we will get with zoning. They'll do a full review, and we'll come back with a determination of whether they're in compliance. I think that although he said he expressed that there was no staff requirement, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that in terms of a determination of whether they're in compliance. There is a staff requirement, and part of that is reviewing and agreeing with that.
All right, let's pull this up in nebulous language. Let's try to talk brass tacks here for just a moment. And I'm not looking for a commitment. I'm not getting engaged in anybody here. All I want to know is just generally what are the kind of factors the staff are going to look to satisfy themselves that this is a restaurant as opposed to a bar. I'm not making anybody guarantee anything here. I'm just having a conversation. What are the type of indicators so these gentlemen can perhaps know what they need to address so they can satisfy you next time you find your way through your front door?
Get food.
The sort of things that you're looking for.
Yeah. Get food, fire up the grill, and serve patrons.
Fire up the grill, serve some food, bring some seats in, make it look like a restaurant. It's
yes.
A
functional restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now,
I'm sure it's just common sense kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. It may be close to a sandwich shop at best, with or a bar that serves sandwiches.
The menu is their business.
I understand.
But to the extent to which it reaches the
But they also have to understand. I mean, there's a gentleman indicated who says he's the general manager. They're open at 4. We've never seen them open at 4. So whether we're scheduled to pay a visit or not pay a visit.
I'm the only one anyone needs to talk to here. I thought I understood them to say he opens the doors at 4 until 3 a.m.
Correct. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Scheduled visit or not, tables and chairs, fully functional kitchen has to be operational.
The kitchen has to be operational until 3 a.m.?
Well, if he's serving alcohol, according to the statute, it says he has to have food to the patrons.
Well, I'm ashamed to say that I've been in a bar or two, and I don't know that any of them. And I'm talking about a lot of reputable restaurants. I mean, matter of fact, my wife reminds me every Saturday night, we don't get on the road by 8:30, so the kitchen's going to be closed before we get there. And I know the restaurants are open later than that.
Going based on what the statute says, sir. Based on what the ordinance says.
All right, well, I guess I'll be the determiner as to whether or not I think that satisfies the criteria or not. And I'm just telling you, from my experience, Outback stopped serving dinner around 10 o'clock, but they continue to keep their bar open. The Olive Garden, where I go to dinner every once in a while, they stop serving at a certain point in time. Like I said, every Saturday night, my wife reminds me, if you don't get on the road pretty soon, you know, the kitchen's going to be closed, or the roast beef's going to be extra well done. Which all kind of indicates to me that the kitchens don't stay open as long as the restaurants themselves do. And so I, for one, am not knowing why these people might be put to the task of doing something that I know lots of other restaurants don't do. Having said that,
You might show me all kinds of ordinances and rules and regulations that will cause me to revisit that and determine that I'm wrong, but I'm just letting you know my experience for whatever it's worth. So we'll go from there.
Right.
I guess all I can say as far as this side of the room is, you've heard where they're coming from, and then I guess I'll just, you go conduct your business as you choose to conduct your business, and then I'll decide whether or not any violation has occurred somewhere down the road.
So we have until May to come in compliance.
Yes. And I mean, that's what we request.
Constitutive compliance. So I guess what constitutive compliance for your benefit is, it's got to be, the primary use has to be that of a restaurant. If there's any illegal signage, I don't know if there was, but you've got time to address it, even if there is. If there's any road and harborage, it's my understanding you're telling me they're not, but you've got time to address it if there is. The same for the infestation. As far as the amplified noise violations goes, sounds as though that's moot, but here again, you've got time to address that too. So you're suggesting you come into compliance by May? Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Kelsey.
That would be the May
8th cutoff date.
May 8th cutoff.
Just for clarification, we do agree with
2013 cutoff.
With the magistrate that the appearance is that they're all moving towards the kind of compliance that we were looking for.
So good. We're all pointing in the right direction. All right. Did you want to be heard on the amount of time required to come into compliance?
I agree with the May date.
Okay. Then I will order the respondent, having already found the respondent to be in non-compliance, I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by May 8, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Does that resolve all the business before us today?
It does indeed, sir.
Yes. Anything further to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, sir.
All right.
No.
I have that.